Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. Get all the leaves on
what's
the trees
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and always good to hear. These markets suck, or what? Are we in... a torture chamber right now? They don't want to go anywhere. I thought that yesterday at the close that they would make a move one way or the other, and they went absolutely nowhere. It's obviously very apparent that everybody's just waiting for Dr. Yellen. You know, again, this is all about the Fed. Kind of sad that free markets are drying up, but of course they'll be back. You know, again, this is never a final score, and never anything that we worry about. This is part of the phases of the market, and this is, we don't list this one, but this would be called the misery phase. Okay, but you know, again, one of the things you always want to understand, and I think important to understand and look at in markets in general, is, you know, we can't try to equate what's going on with a company or with the market. You know, like I did a Bloomberg spot yesterday, and I said, you know, they said, why do you think this is a house of cards? And I said, well, because there is no growth, there is no bill, there's nothing here. Everything, we're only trading money right now. I mean, I don't know if you actually watched the markets trade yesterday, but if you did, you saw some very interesting things. Okay. Almost every market was up. Okay. Very, very unusual to see that type of action, because in any condition, some markets should be up and some markets should be down regardless. Okay. There are some markets that are just, they're different, and they should go in opposite directions. We did not see a lot of that yesterday. Okay. We had the Dow higher, the bonds were higher, the euro currency was higher, the yen was higher, crude oil was higher, gold was higher, and so on and so forth. So again, in true theory, you know, some of these things should be going the opposite direction, and they're not. And then, of course, in the commodity space, geez Louise, the grain markets were exploding to the upside, and all the other softs were going like they were giving away for free. So the one message that was sending was that, A, that they're really trading the dollar, okay? When they're trading the dollar, it means that if the dollar goes up, that particular product will go down. If the dollar goes down, then that particular product will go up. And you'll see that a lot in commodities that are traded globally, because at the end of the day, it's about the dollar. And you know, we talk about this often here on the show, it's always about the money. Okay. And if it's about the money, then we have to figure out how to equate. So I say a lot of the move that was yesterday was about the money. It was about the dollar. Okay. And if we recognize that and you learn to understand that, then the moves that had happened will make some sense. Because the overall tape or the market was not very exciting, yet we managed to close higher. Interesting enough, over the last couple of days, the VIX has managed to obviously not go crazy, but it has ticked up in a market that's been up. So it's been very interesting to watch. But I think one of the key things to be watching here is we know that we're waiting for Janet Yellen to speak. And who is the most truly interested in what Yellen has to say? The banks. Because the banks are truly dying to have an interest rate increase. because then they can charge more for money, and then they can actually possibly really lend money out. Because if you haven't noticed, the only lending that's being done lately, if you're an average guy, is either through credit cards at usury rates if you can't pay the bill, or through one of these goofy peer-to-peer lending places, which drag you in with the promise of a low rate and end up burying you with a high rate, but you need the money, so you take it anyways. But overall, the banks are not so free and easy with their cash because, of course, why should they take the risk? It's always about the spread. You know, when we look at a market and we look at what's going on, remember, the banks are working on the lending rate or their borrowing rate versus what they can retake out and then relend to me. Well, right now, the banks are borrowing at, let's say, 0.25%, let's say 0. They have to lend to me at about 3 and change, okay? So they're making like 3.5 points on that spread, which is okay. But in this particular case, they can go to the full faith and credit and still get, you know, 2.5%. So their true spread is only 1, and they're not lending me at a 1% spread. It just doesn't make sense to them. So what's really happening, though, is that the banks can only borrow, they can only buy bonds at a 1-to-1 ratio versus the amount of money that they have or borrow, versus if they're lending it out on the street, they can lend out at a 9-to-1 ratio. But again, right now, they're trying to manage risk. You know, I don't know why that this is a holiday that they're managing risk, but that's what they're managing right now. And again, it's logically, it makes sense what they're doing because they're trying to avoid another problem. Now, at the end of the day, will they avoid it? I doubt it. I think that we see so much debt, and no matter where it's at. And if you also keep in mind that banks love people that just pay the minimum or the interest, because then you just keep paying off on a note that you actually never get paid off. You just keep paying interest to keep the line going. So those are always things that we look at. But the banks, that's why the banks want interest rates higher, because then they can widen their spread and make it more acceptable, and they can then start loaning out 9 times the money they're taking in on deposit, basically. So now, instead of, you know, let's say $1 million, $1 million for $1 million, they're now taking in $1 million and loaning out 9. So what are they really making? Well, they're making interest on all of that, on money that they don't even have, or money that they couldn't even produce if they had to, which goes back to the ridiculous Fed. But we lend out money, which is why the Fed is in place. So the banks also create money that they lend out, because that allows them to create money, and that's why the Fed is there, so there's no run on the bank. Because if the Fed wasn't there and everybody came in at one time to get their money out, guess what? It ain't there. There'd be a run on the bank. You go back to It's a Wonderful Life. A bank run. And that really is what happens in the business. Okay? So as long as you recognize and understand that, but that's why lending is so hard. So in spite of what great things they continue to tell you about how good it is, it's not, because the average guy does not get the money. Anyways, make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. You know, I've been talking about this for weeks, and their swim lessons. Again, great education, and they're just happy to help. Look, at the end of the day, a brokerage house wants you to make money because then they get to make money. Okay, so they want to give you as much education as they can. And tomorrow they've got increase the yield of your portfolio, of your stock portfolio. They've also got their technically speaking, okay, which is 1-to-1 30. Okay, Cindy Faber spotlights charts and studies and script and does all kinds of good stuff. And then they've got the plunge, and this week's plunge is managing a paper money stock portfolio. Okay, so check them out. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. It is one of the platforms that I use. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, now how dare you ever miss a Bubba show, but if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm lets you download it, okay? And we are over 200,000 and want to get to 300,000, so I need your help. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba show and the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. I'm going to step out for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse.
Wow.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, I tell you, we got so many things going on and so much of nothing going on. And I always find it interesting how markets are interpreted by these so-called experts. And I call them the so-called experts because they're really, I can't even say it, but you get my drift. I find it a real problem. I find it very problematic at some of the people that are out there talking about portfolios that don't even know what a market is or how to trade it or what to do. And I find that problematic because when you're basing your career on somebody else's money, other people's money, and you're allowing them to get themselves trapped in certain positions that we all know what may happen down the road at some point. I don't think that that's using proper diligence in helping your clients. So I have a problem when I see that and when I see people blabbing about what great stocks to buy on air. Now, I have no problem with making a recommendation, a sound recommendation, but I hope that the expert or the analyst owns the stock that they're recommending. I mean, if the analyst won't buy it and his customers aren't in it, why would I want to buy it? I have a problem with that. I mean, I have a fundamental problem with it. You will never catch me on air recommending any trade unless I'm own it or short it. You can bet your ass that whatever I say on air, I've got a position in it. Okay? And again, if I'm willing to recommend it to you, why is it not good enough for me? But the other problem I have is the overexuberance that we see a lot by many of the people out there that don't have a dime at risk. So why not pump it up to make everybody excited about it? I mean, when do we start talking and hearing reality? Now, again, I'm not a gloom and doomer. I'm actually a very happy guy, right? But I do recognize, you know, when I think probability, because that's really what, you know, my life is determined by probability. You know, my trading is based on probability. My poker playing is based on probability. Okay. The things I do, the risk I'm willing to take in any walk of life is based on the probability. And what is my expected success rate? And what is my return versus what is my risk? You know, it was one of the things I taught my kids from a very young age is understand, I don't care what you do. That's what I would tell them. Because, look, I know what kids are. I was a kid myself, and I don't hide from the things that I did. And believe me, it's amazing that I'm still alive when I think back at some of the things that I did. And I'm sure we all have stories like that because we all did things, especially if you're in my generation or that age group. You know, we did things that we probably shouldn't have done. But we survived, okay, through it. But the problem is that we didn't weigh that. And what I say to anybody, whether it's my children, about life or about investing, is weigh the probability, weigh the exposure. If you can live with the worst result of what you're doing, and no matter what you're doing, then that's okay. Then I can take that risk. If I can live with what the worst result would be, okay, then I could be willing to take that particular risk. And that is something that when you're investing, you look at things the same way. You know, if you can accept the disaster that could happen and it's okay by you, then it's probably okay to make that type of a trade. And that's something that, you know, I always want everybody to always understand is those are very important things in life, understanding the exposure that you're willing to put yourself up against. Okay, because then you find out, you know, are you really making a trade just to make it, or you're making a trade that's really legitimate, that you're very comfortable in doing? Okay, because that becomes a much bigger part of what you're trying to do. And I think that's important from a market standpoint. Okay, because again, understanding the risk and the model is important overall. And that's what I always work on. And it's, you know, like I talk about, you know, expectations. Okay. Well, for example, I did a trade yesterday on Bloomberg, and it's a stock that I like, and it's a stock that I own, Smith & Wesson, the gun manufacturer. Now, they've been getting hammered lately. So I just thought that the probability lied in my favor, that it was a reasonable buy. So I actually recommended Arrow, and I've already bought it. And I think that overall, I think that it's something you look at, and if you understand what the street or what the market is expecting, then you're probably okay. Okay, but that's important to understand, because expectations are very often priced into markets all the time. And when you can understand what the overall expectation is of that market, then you can put yourself in a much higher probability or a higher win rate going forward. And at the end of the day, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get a higher win rate. Okay. And that, you know, again, last Friday's jobs number, no brainer that it was going to rally. We didn't know exactly from where, but we knew it would rally. Why? Because every other time the markets are telling us that it wants to rally because it's basing its decision on free money. Okay. And that becomes, again, what we're looking at, that does show up in the footprint. So if you gauge what you're doing based on the market footprint, and if a stock is getting hammered into earnings, okay, most likely they've already priced in the worst of it, so that all that possibly is left is good news, which means, now again, this is not a 100% guarantee every single time, but that would mean that you might expect a little bit of a move in the opposite direction of the way that it's heading, okay? Because the market is already signaled and made its move. It's already had the money flow to the way that it thinks it's going. So now you would look at the other side of it and say, okay, well, the probabilities lead me to believe that this should turn around. And if you take a look, and this is another quick example, if you look at Lululemon yesterday, these marketed priced in good earnings, and the street had already priced a lot of it in, so the initial move off of the earnings was lower before rallying late in the day and then continuing higher, but it did miss the earnings expectations by more than they thought, which caused a minor sell-off, but the stock had already rallied. And that would have been, if you were going to make a trade, and again, this wouldn't have been a winner, because you wouldn't, unless you could see the backs of the cards, but it would have been an opportunity to understand how it's working. And that's what I'm looking at. And that's what I want you to understand is what to expect, because general markets give you expectations as well. You know, we had the expectation that the jobs number was going to be bad because the markets continued to rally in the face of a rate increase. And we know the markets are not going to like that when it actually happens. So the markets assumed that everything was going to be bad, and they were proven correctly, which immediately caused a big sell-off. But then by the end of the day, it rallied back a lot. And that's something that I think that, you know, you have to understand, and we have to be able to have the ability to mentally break down what's going on without infusing our opinion or our emotion or any of the other things that can cause the average trader to fail. That is, again, there's nothing wrong with failing. In fact, I encourage failing here and there, okay? Because failure is a part of building your next success level. But failing because you did the wrong things, I have no sympathy. Okay. Failing because you did everything right and it didn't work, that is, you know, that's going to happen. But that's where the position you want to be in, because the first thing in any model you want to be is you want to be mathematically sound. Okay. Which means that the probabilities are in your favor. And then when all that's done, then you say, okay, good. Now I'm ready to go. Okay. Anyways, as you think about all that stuff and cogitate it, remember that if you ever miss my show, The Bubba Show, it's available for download every day at libertytalk.fm. You can get all the episodes, and we now are just over 200, actually it's 225,000 right now, We're looking to get to 300,000 next and then a million, but we have to go one level at a time. Make sure you check it out, and also the Sporting Edge. We're excited about that. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Let me see what spring.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It's Bubba, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And as you've got used to, I hope, on Thursdays I play an interview I do with RFD Radio, Marlon Bowling, and talking about markets and grains. So let's go to Marlon Bowling right now and hear what I had to say yesterday about the grain markets. Here we go.
Of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Todd, thanks for joining us here today. A little firmer tone overnight here in this grain trade. Is this all just brought on by the weather, or what's going on?
You know, Marlon, good morning. And we're having a market that is basically right now, you know, out of control. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. We have now established, or at least most people feel, that the Fed will not raise rates, which will present now a weaker dollar, which is creating some more export. I think you've got some firms that have been short that are in trouble, that are squeezing the markets higher. And I think generally you've got some overall euphoria here pushing markets higher. And I you know, always like to warn everybody that, you know, let's not get too greedy up here. Let's make sure that we protect what's going on here, because you've got a market that's what we would call, in a technical term, a blow off. And you're having prices are rising faster than they can actually be sustained. And of course, we've seen these before. We saw it back in, I think, was it 12 in hogs, where they, you know, when we had the PED virus, we saw it back with cattle a couple years ago. The prices eventually will run out of steam. And I'm not saying that this is the time they will run out, but eventually here, the buyers will not be able to keep up with what's going on, and there's going to be some profit taking coming in. So again, we're firmer. I'm certainly not going to get in front of it nor fight it, but I would warn and say, let's not be greedy. Let's make sure that we're protecting that marketing plan and at least hedging ourselves and locking in a higher basis, so that if it does sell off, we are able to get out without much of a loss of where we are now. And if it continues to go higher, we will benefit and gain from the markets continuing to go higher. Because I can't tell you when the markets will stop going up. I can tell you that the rate of change in which they're going up now is unsustainable. And, you know, we can talk about weather. You can give it any reason you want, but right now the buyers are forcing their way in, whether it be short covering or chasing greed. A lot of different emotions are playing here, but at some point it will have to slow down.
Well, it does seem like a herd mentality out there, and I have to admit, being a producer myself for at least 25 years, I mean, it's way premature to have a weather rally at this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, Marlon. You know, last year we were talking about, you know, how much we liked the space when corn was down at 3 and change and beans were in the 8s, and we were saying, you know what, they've thrown every bit of bad news at the market, and it's still not really going much lower. Well, now they're throwing every possible thing and the kitchen sink at these markets. And, of course, you're seeing reaction. And this is an emotional reaction. This is, I think, something that, I want farmers and producers especially to understand that your business is not trading. Your business is making money through your farming and through your crops and through your livestock. And that you have to now look at this model and say, hey, I'm probably making some pretty good money right now. I need to put in some sort of protection here to at least lock in these gains, because the greed on the street, and this is, you know, always markets, they run on two basic emotions, fear and greed, and this is certainly greed. And to me, it looks like there's some predatory firms out there that may be pushing them around a little bit. I understand there's some people pushing it open interest in odd months. Also, I believe that there is going to be, we're going to hear soon, that somebody's in trouble because they were way too short this market, which can keep fueling it and pushing it higher.
Isn't it true that the worst thing you can do is nothing in a market like this?
Absolutely. If you do nothing here, then it's really tragic, because you've got opportunity right now to say, you know what, lock in a basis, you know, Novi beans, you know, lock in 11, 10. I mean, I know that's above what the cost to get it in the ground is, what the cost to harvest is going to be. So why not use a strategy that says, hey, I can lock in this price while still being able to participate? But listen, I can't say we're not going to 12. I can't say we're not going to 13. I have no idea where the top of this can be. All I know is from 36 years of being involved in this business that at some point higher prices will cure the higher prices and the euphoria will stop. And this is something that we talk about all the time, the euphoria of markets that are going up and the despair of markets that are going way down. And when we get in places like this, this is becoming irrational. And it's impossible for a sustained rally to continue like this, because when you look at a parabolic move that just goes up in lumps every single day, at some point, profit takers are going to come in, new money is going to come in and sell it, it's going to price itself out of the market. So at least protect yourself and say, hey, let me lock in at least my profits for the year, and then I can play. But farming and producing is not gambling. It needs to be protected and take advantage of what the markets are giving you right now.
And when you get into high volatility, like we're starting to see in the grain markets this time of year, that is when those options become a very valuable tool in the toolbox. So I'm sure you'll be talking with producers about that time and time and time again here in the next few weeks. Todd, sit tight. I want to bring you back here in a little bit. We'll be talking about the livestock trade and other stuff when we come back with more on Commodity Wrap. On the morning edition of Commodity Wrap on a Wednesday morning edition. Thanks for joining us. I'm Marlon Bowling here on Rural Radio. That's Channel 147 here on Sirius XM. Zach Troutman is running the board for us. And we're talking right now with Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. And, Todd, you mentioned earlier in the first segment there about the dollar going weaker. Last I knew, it was down about 200 points again overnight. Crude oil is fairly sharply higher again, and that's kind of dangerous here for producers when it comes to input costs.
Again, what you're seeing right now, Marlon, is if we have to take every market into consideration right now, with the jobs number of last Friday, you had a sign that the Fed will not raise rates. The initial assumption when the dollar was starting to rally was that the Fed was going to raise, which would make our dollar stronger against the world currencies. So now that they're not going to raise, the dollar is falling out of bed. The euro currency is rallying, which is the biggest component of the dollar index. Oil is flying to the moon. Gold is now running up again, all because we're trading not the products, but we're actually trading on dollars right now, which is another problem that is more serious than anybody really expects here, because now we're seeing this run up based, I think, more on artificial. You know, I look at this economy as a house of cards right now. And when you have this kind of action based on numbers and information that is not necessarily factual nor that is artificial, if the Fed does decide and says we're going to raise rates anyways, which is a possibility, the dollar will skyrocket again and all these commodities will start to collapse again. So when you get away from the true fundamentals of what's really going on and you start trading a third instrument, which in this case would be the dollar, against it, it now becomes a much more serious problem, because you're really at the beck and call of the Federal Reserve and what they decide to do. So now we've anticipated no increase. The dollar's got clobbered. Everything else has changed. The stock markets are going to make new highs. And this is all for nothing. I mean, what changed in the overall economy? Not much. So you're looking at a lot of factors outside of just normal growing and planting and harvesting.
All right. So when we have to look ahead, though, to irrigation needs and that sort of thing, that you know, that would translate, I would think, into natural gas prices and propane prices, diesel fuel prices and that sort of thing through the growing season here. And those get to be very steep costs.
Yes, they do. And again, this is we're looking at, again, it does relate back to the dollar, but now they could go higher. But of course, if they continue higher, so will the crops and things like that will continue higher as well. But again, these are all products that can be hedged out and protected on either side. You know, you don't always have to worry about, you know, the upside or the downside if you own them. But, you know, if you're using, for example, feed, you can hedge the upside and say, hey, I don't want to pay any more than this and I need to lock in prices. So there's a lot of ways you can protect it. But overall, markets in general, as we've seen over history, tend to become too euphoric right when they're getting ready to turn the other way. And again, I'm not predicting anything. I'm saying that there's ways to protect, and we're going to see markets will settle out and things will change a little bit here. And I wouldn't get overly concerned at the irrational movement that we're seeing in the last couple of weeks.
Todd, as always, excellent to talk with you. I wish I could talk with you all day. Unfortunately, I got to head for the hills momentarily here for a word from our sponsor, but I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Look up BubbaTrading.com for some excellent information and how to get in touch with Todd personally. Todd Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com. He'll be glad to help you out. We'll be back with more commodity.
I hope you noticed I said very little about the actual grains themselves. I talked more about greed and more about the sustainability of the markets. Remember, when we get markets that are so totally ridiculously parabolic, okay, they are unsustainable. The movement is unsustainable. The action is unsustainable. And this is now being driven by fear and greed. The fear from the shorts and the greed from the guys who want to make more. And, of course, you cannot possibly sustain this. And if you have any question about that, go back and look at hogs when they were in the dollar, the 130 level. Go look at feeder cattle when it was at 250. Go look at any big market and see how it ends. They all end the same way. Again, and I'm not telling you that I'm bearish or that we're going down. I'm just saying watch the price action. Make sure you've got your marketing plan in place. Make sure you understand your hedge, okay, and make sure you put yourself in the position to win, because if you do that, then what you've done is you've taken the next step to be successful and lock in profit ahead of time so that you don't have to worry about what goes on. You don't have to worry about the cash market and what's going on in this market or that market, because you know what prices you can get out right away. So at the end of the day, take care of yourself. Remember, it's about the money. This is the Bubba Show. If you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm gets you the download of every show. So make sure that you go check that out. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba always. We will be back right after the break.
The song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander. Orchestrated by...
I thought that it'd be a good time to talk about hedging. Okay. You know, I do a lot of hedging between equity portfolios, farming stuff, grains, livestock. And I will tell you the common thread. You know, nobody thinks that they need protection until it's too late. And then when they have the protection on, if it doesn't go their way right away, they go, what the hell do I need this for? Hedging and protection is a lifelong journey. It is not a one-off or a one-day. It's not an active trading method. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. As you know, I hate all those get-rich BS crap that's advertised all the time from all those jackasses that promise you the world and deliver nothing. Okay? Hedging your portfolio is simply that, about putting together a series of trades that create a synthetic roll around your net worth, your portfolio, that protect you and keep you out of harm's way. Now, again, you know, there's nothing that will be 100%. But what we do is the closest. I will say that. Okay, I don't make any promises on numbers, but I know the math theory. And, you know, when I start running my classes again in the fall, you're certainly welcome to check them out. But at the end of the day, again, life comes down to protection. You wear your seatbelt, you buy insurance. Okay, so if you insure your house and you insure your car, why are you insuring them? Well, you're insuring them against disaster. So you're willing to pay a premium to insure those things. Well, why wouldn't you want to insure your money against disaster? But further than that, why wouldn't you want to hedge or protect your money with the ability to potentially do it for free, but yet be 100% insured? Now, how does that sound? Okay, because that is the objective of what we do, is we try to set it up so that we are 100% protected against disaster while still benefiting from the upside movement of the market, but being protected at the downside. Now, again, sometimes it's costly, sometimes it isn't. But we always know what our fixed cost is when we start, and our job is to whittle away those costs by using part of the strategies that we use. But it's a wonderful way if you learn it. And it's, again, nobody really uses it, okay, except for some major funds that I work with, because it's too innovative for most. And it, you know, and as we talked earlier, a lot of the managers out there, you don't give a rat's ass. They're just looking to, you know, collect the fees and hope the market keeps going up. Well, you and I both know that this time will not be different, that this time there will be some issue. There will be some problem. And I don't know when it's going to be. Again, I was asked on Bloomberg yesterday, well, when is it? Hell if I know. All I know is it will happen. All I know, or all I think, and I don't know this, but what I do think is that at some point the greed will run out, the money will run out, the interest rates may change, and at some point we could see some activity that would create a reason. Now, what I really believe will happen is there'll be a world event that will happen, and that will create a little bit of selling to begin with. And one of these times, the markets will not rally back. They will not bounce back immediately. One of these times, the markets will actually sell off, and the selling will not stop. Now, again, I'm not trying to create any fear right here. This is not anything that I'm trying to create in your mind right now that there's a problem, because I'm not. I don't want it to come off like that. But I do know that, again, if you look back at any great market sell-off, they're usually triggered by an event, possibly not even related, but that creates enough fear that forces people to want to change the dynamics of their overall portfolio. So that is something that we want to look at. But again, the overall understanding and the ability to hedge that portfolio, the ability to understand how that portfolio works, the ability to create something out of nothing and put yourself in a position of success is what we do. That's what we try to do. That's what we want to do. That's how it works. And that's what the model that we use is all about. So when you learn to understand and express that, it makes you better. Now, one of the best things about being a hedger, it also makes you a better trader, because now you have now developed a better understanding of how markets work. So if we can understand how markets work better, okay, then all of a sudden we have gotten to a position that not only do we understand the markets working better, but now we understand how it ties into our portfolio and how it ties into everything else. And before you know it, we're trading better. Why? Because we have a better understanding. Because now we can actually anticipate some moves, because we've now developed the model that corrects, and we look for the expectation, and we look to move, you know, if there's extremes, we look to move with or without it. And we then create a better feel for the overall market instead of just the usual, oh, I think I'll buy this one, or I think I'll buy that one. And that's what we're trying to avoid. Okay. And basically, that's what we look to teach in everything that we do. Because, as you know, I love to educate. I think it's important. I think financial literacy is very important. So my desire is to always help in any way I can and develop affordable products that help you, the individual, become better at what you do. Because, again, at the end of the day, I want everybody to succeed. I'm a big champion for the underdog, and I want to make sure that everybody gets the benefit of my inside knowledge. And that's not inside trading, but the inside of what happens in a market, because a lot of things that happen are done with the idea of misleading you, the poor average guy or gal. Okay. And that is something that always bothers me, is when we deceive. I don't do it because I'm not big enough to do it. But when a big guy comes out and deceives the average person who buys into what they think of somebody that they respect says, when they've already done their deal and they're only looking to benefit off of what you're going to now put in their pocket. Me, I find that to be problematic. I find that to be uncomfortable. I find that to be a whole bunch of things that I'm not happy with overall, that really kind of disturb me about the entire industry, because we've got these compliance people that are worried about everything but what they're supposed to be worried about. But to me, all they do is create more heartache and pain for the average guy, because you know who gets to pay for all this stuff with all these regulations that they've created and with all these fines that they end up doling out to, as they pick out and get the low-hanging fruit? You and me. We get to pay for it. It's our privilege to pay for all this ridiculous government over-regulation, over-bullcrap that puts us in a bad light overall. And to me, that's a pisser, pisses me off. But, you know, you know me. I'm a freewheeler, and I say what I think, and that's what I think. Anyways, you know, if you ever miss the show, and we know things come up, so sometimes you can't always be there, you got to go to libertytalk.fm. You got to download the show, okay? Because, you know, you can't. How could you go a day without me, without Mr. Bitch? Anyways, libertytalk.fm gets you the show, also the Sporting Edge. But also, you know, go check out the BubbaTrading.com. You know, I do a lot of writing there. Again, it's free. I mean, again, I have products for sale, but I don't market them actively, because, you know, what I do is what I do, and I'm happy to help those who want to be in it. So I do things very exclusively. But I do a lot of great writing, and I've got, you know, a couple guys that write as well. So it's a great spot for information and kind of things that we're thinking. So go check it out, BubbaTrading.com, LibertyTalk.fm, get the downloads. In the meantime, have a terrific day. I appreciate you being here. As always, this will do it until tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Wallers. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Wallers. Have a great day. Thanks. My girl,
talking about. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.